بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Villager came to Medina Munawwara and he went in the corner of the masjid, urinated. It was natural for the Sahaba Ikram to feel offended. The masjid, this person is behaving in this manner. So they tried to stop him. Nabi Sam stopped them and let him complete. Possible reason may have been, amongst other reasons, when he's a new person, he doesn't know. He's not doing it deliberately, he's not doing it to insult anybody or to show any disregard and disrespect to deen. But he's doing it in pure ignorance. And if you're going to stop him on his tracks, then the first impression that he'll have of Islam is an impression of aggression, an impression of harshness, impression of hostility. Then the other reason could have been that if he stopped straight away, then the urine, if it's coming with a force, it doesn't just stop. Stopped him now, he's going to stand up. In place of the urine being confined to one spot, he's going to be spraying the whole place. So let him just do it in one place and we can clean that place after that. That's what was done. Whatever procedures were required to clean the place was cleaned up. The upper sand, lower, and the lower sand, upper, put some water, cover it up, clean the place up. So this Sahabi, there are three hadiths about him. So they say, Al-Ba'il, Was-Sa'il, Wal-Qa'il. Al-Ba'il, Was-Sa'il, Wal-Qa'il. So the Ba'il is over. The second was Was-Sa'il. Now he's coming to the masjid, perhaps he's performed one, two rakats of namaz. And then he raised up his hand and he says, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada wa la tushrik ma'ana ahada. Allah Pak, have mercy on me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't include anybody else. So he must have been thinking that Allah Pak's mercy will get depleted just now. Because it may be like a Cadbury chocolate, you know. Too many people are going to be sharing it. What will be left? So only me and Muhammad, nobody else. So Nabi Sallam explained, لَقَدْ تَحَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is all accommodating. It's so vast. You know, that if He shows mercy to the entire universe and millions over time, and over again, there's not even a drop in the ocean of His mercy. لَقَدْ تَحَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا. So Al-Qa'il Was-Sa'il. And the third was Ba'il. So we finished the Ba'il, finished the Sa'il, now the Qa'il is left. So Nabi Sallam had performed his namaz coming out of the masjid. So the same villager, he asked, Ya Nabi Allah, Matassa. It's a beautiful people. Villages, very clean, very clear, no makeup, nothing, no airs about them, very clear. What was in their mind was on their tongue. And really the Sahaba Kiram were anxious to see these type of villages. Because the villages had nothing in their minds. They were clear, a lot of things to learn from them. Here those that were old, they were a little bit afraid to ask. They had the understanding of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This person had no understanding. So he'll ask whatever he needs to ask, he'll ask. Meanwhile, the rest of the crowd is benefiting. So they would wait for this type of persons to come. And Nabi Sallam was also like them, very clean and clear at heart. They got no ears about them. That villager that is coming in, he's different. One villager came to the Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. And he speaks to him, says, you know, there is one Pir Sahib that came in here. And that Pir Sahib, I'm thinking about him, you know. Think of moving over to him. Now that Pir Sahib is not even qail about namaz. He doesn't even talk about namaz. The farais all are just missing. He's obliterated the farais in his life completely. So Moran understood now, this is a villager and he's going to be talking that style. So he said, you know, talk like that, I'll give you two slaps, you know. In my own language I'm telling you. So anyway, he shelved that idea, so Moana asked him, after some time he came back, Moana asked him, what about that person, that Pir Sahib? He says, ab to thara hi daman mein pakad liya. I just hold on to you now. Moana says, the way he said it, village style, doesn't seem so respectable, but really I appreciated it. Because what he said from his heart. He didn't say, there wasn't any makeup in him, no formality in him, no makeup. Absolute clear, clean. Our Mashaikh like this type of people. Very clean, clear, what's in the heart. Because their only motive is to do our istan, move on. Get into Jannah, move on. Now, the crowds of people we get here now, when the Khilafat is coming, when the Ijazah is coming, when this is going to happen, when the dreams are going to come. So now, that is coming in between the person that is dispensing and the one that is receiving. Because that person's horizon is very high. We can't reach up to him, it's so high. So that becomes like a barrier in between. And that villager that is coming, just coming for, I want my guidance, I can move on well, I don't have any problems on the road. So he'll speak, and he'll speak very easily. And when we need to speak to him, we'll speak to him easily as well. So there's an easy communication. Communication is very easy. Not that you don't need to develop this person that is coming in. He's coming in a formal way. One student that was studying there in Thana Bhavan. In India we have it, that the madrasas, they can only accommodate a certain amount. They only got the capacity for that certain amount, 100, 200 people. But in the meanwhile, they get 300 students coming in. So they can't deprive them of the education, but say, well, the boarding facility and the feeding facility is only for 100 people, you have to look out for yourselves. So then you have the townspeople, the offerings that, alright, I'll feed 10 people, I'll feed 5 people. So one person now, he comes up to Maulana and he says, Maulana, you know what? You know, you'll arrange my feeding by a certain place, certain person's place. From tomorrow I'm not going to go and take my food from there. Now, whatever they used to do, they will consult Maulana. Even though it may seem that it's odd for them to come and ask everything and consult Maulana for everything that they would do, but they will consult. Small things or big things, but they will consult. And Maulana will train them up. He will train them up. So he will ask them certain questions just to see what's in their minds. So he asked the person, but you say that you're not going to eat there, so what's your problem? And he fight with the person. No, they say that it's a widow. She lost her husband and she's young and she's a widow. So what's wrong then? Maulana is working the person trying to see what is in his mind. So he says, no, she is interested in getting married to me. So Maulana is a little bit serious, put up a serious face. So what's wrong? Sunnah, now she, uska wo thikana par jayega. She will get sorted out, you will get settled, you're getting your food there, you'll get a free home, you'll be settled, she'll be settled, so what's wrong? So I'm not going to do that. So, but what's wrong? What's wrong in getting married? She wants to get proposed to you, and you of age as well, so what's wrong in that? Now he says, well, the word will go out that the students come to study here, and then they start getting married with the same woman that is feeding them. So the agendas are wrong here. They are after the woman here. They're not after the studies. So this will then work out to be negative towards the whole student population here. So they will begin to view the students negatively. Although here, I wasn't the culprit, I wasn't the victim. She's proposed for me. But the news that will go out will be negative. It will work in favor of the students, it will work against the students. I'm just stopping this food here. So Maulana complimented, mashallah, your thinking is right. But Maulana had to take him in this process to understand what was in his mind. You train the person. Because tomorrow he'll have to sit in your place. When he's going to be sitting in your place, then he must be disciplined. He must know what Islam is all about. What the Reformation is all about. This Reformation and correction is not just one thing, limited, just constrained, constricted to one thing. It's everything. It's your whole thought process. Everything is going to be disciplined now. The Western and secular education will show you an external level of discipline. How are you? Welcome. Thank you. Not to mention, that's all an external. But Islam goes one above and disciplines your mind as well. That when you say not to mention all that, then your mind is also saying the same thing. No, I don't want your compliments. I'm doing it. لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. I don't want you to say me even shukriya. I'm doing it only for Allah Ta'ala. I'm not doing it for any other reason. So I don't need your compliments. I'm doing it for my own good. So not to the level of just an outer display of words, but even your mind is working in the same manner. But then this happens when the mind is disciplined. This mental discipline is a very great thing. And the mental discipline comes when you are constantly consulting your elder. You see, for any operation to work right, you need to consult. And consult means you need to have some head, some senior. Hazrat Ji Hamza Yashu says quite often, says, ye jo bigar ho raha hai, this corruption that you see amongst us, amongst our ranks, right? Ye kyu ho raha hai? Why is this corruption going? Why all it's going? Why this chaos? Ye sab bepeere ho rahe. This is his words. People don't have any senior. They don't recognize the senior now. Whereas having a senior is such a logical thing that not having a senior, not having a head, right, will destroy all direction in whatever you are doing. You don't have a head. A small little factory, it needs a head, right? Doesn't it need a head? They got 10 different departments to work in, but that also needs a head. And for a moment, just think it doesn't have a head. What happens? Then each person that is working in the different department, he feels, I'm not responsible to anybody. I do it, I don't do it, I'm not answerable to anybody. Nobody can question my authority. So I ask you, if everybody feels like that, that I'm not answerable to anybody, can there be any direction in the factory? Can't be any direction. Can there be any direction? Can they see the light ahead of them? They can't see the light on. Small little factory, a material thing, but it doesn't have a head. And that thing is destroyed. Or even if you've got a business, you need to have a head in that business. And each person thinks that he's working in that shop, and he thinks, no, I'm not answerable to anybody. I ask you, is that business going to work? He's sitting in your business, and he's diverting all the clientele to his shop. Discreetly, what do you want? I want some hammers or screws. So now, you know, you'll find it in that shop. Who will find it there? So he's sitting in your shop, but he's diverting. So he's doing his own thing because he's not answerable. He doesn't consider himself to be answerable to anybody. I ask you, will that little shop of yours be able to function? You can't. That even that home of yours can't function if it doesn't have a head. You've got children, and each child feels that I'm not answerable to anybody. I can come the time I want to, I can leave the time that I want to, I can wear what I want to, I can dress up like I want to. Last week, a person was complaining, he says, about his own family. He says, he's living in this country, whatever. And all he said, his daughter, she was aging about 13, or she's coming of age. So he told the daughter, you know what, that you are talking to boys very freely. This is not right. Now you're coming of age. So you need to understand that you're coming of age, and you can't be mixing up with your cousins or other boys very freely. So she went and launched a complaint. They took the father, imprisoned him for 5 years, and they gave that girl security. Now this is what they mean by justice, and this is what they mean by fair play. That girl can choose the type of sathis and friends that she wants. You can't come and dictate, and you can't influence her life. She wants to do whatever she wants to do, she must be allowed to do that. You can't come and influence her life. Man is imprisoned, 5 years, 10 years imprisoned. Why? Just because he had to advise his daughter that was aging, that you can't go and mix up with boys freely. Now she can be abused, she can be used, she can get into some problems, she can put herself into difficulties, it's alright. But you mustn't influence her. Right? So a small little home also can't operate. That home also needs some type of a boss. It needs a head. For that whole home to run in a direction, the wife needs to listen. She needs to recognize some authority. The children needs to understand some type of authority. So you'll find that home operating and operating very well. Why? It's got some direction. It's got some type of a system. This Tabligh Jamaat movement that we see, right? And we see it's so functional, so viable, right? There's two common elements that make it so prosperous. When I see this Jamaat, it comes to my mind. There's two things in them that make them so functional and so prosperous in what they are doing. The one thing is that there's no commercial reward for it, nothing. You do it, you come off your own, you leave it, you go off your own. There's no commercial value attached to it. So you're coming in off your own, you're going in, you're going out of your own. You're not going to get any bargains, you're not going to get any remuneration, you do it off your own, and you want to join in, you join in, you want to leave, you leave. So there's no commercial value attached to it, no world material. So when there is a material value, there can be an expectation. And when the expectation is not met, then there's going to be a fight. Right? I expected this. I'm going to work for you like this, and I'll get promoted like this. And because I don't see the promotion, therefore, I have some type of a reservation. Why? Because there was an expectation. There was a hope. But there's no hope. You come in 4 months, bye. You're not going to get anything additional. So there is very little, I don't say there won't be, but there's very little scope for any type of a bickering, any type of fighting, any type of difference. So that's the first thing that's in this Jamaat. And the second thing that's in the Jamaat that makes it so operational and functional is that whatever you may be, how intelligent, how capable you may be, but whatever you want to do, you have to pass it with one Amir. One Amir is sitting in India, you will listen to him and he will call the shots, he will take the decision. No matter what you are thereafter, but you have to pass it through him. And even though it may be that you may seem to be more intelligent than him also, but you will have to pass it through him. And when you pass it through him, then how it will play out, it will play out like this, that whether you are living in the furthest east or the furthest south, you will find one system. So the one that is living in the furthest east, he will find himself absolutely at home when he is in the furthest west. Same the other way around. Why? It's one system, one Amir. So they're going in a straight line. See? So Hazrat Ghamar's statement, he just said it in a small anecdote. That people are coming without any seniors. They don't have any senior. Whether it's the husband that is the senior, whether it's the head in the family that is the senior, whoever is that is in the senior, but there's someone that you hold yourself accountable to, then you are moving in a line. But you don't hold yourself accountable to anybody. I'm my own boss. I'm doing my thing, you're doing your own thing. For you to discover many things, you have to experiment. Say, no, you're going to run your life like this. Your father sees you run your life like this. For you to understand what's the reason for your father programming you in that way, it will take you another 10 years, 12 years. But he's asked, you know, you come like this, you will complete your work like this, you will function like this in this home, you will come here before Asr, you will do your homework after Asr to Maghrib, after Isha you straighten the bed, and you'll be getting up early, so you're good in school, you're good in madrasa, you're good as a Muslim, you're good for your circular, you are a complete package. So he's got a direction for you. But the father is not interested where the son is coming, and the son is not answerable to the father. I ask you, is there any direction in that home? No direction in the home. He's coming when he wants, he's leaving when he wants. So he's not good for his circular, he's not good for his worldly activities, he's not good for his dini activities. He's got no direction in life. Now, such a person, now to bring him back onto a system, is it easy? It's going to be very difficult, very impractical to make him to conform to some system. Because he's been like this throughout his life. So you see, in every respect, in every aspect, in worldly things, we see it, that we need to have a system and we need to have a head. Without the head, that thing can't function, it can't work. Now, unfortunately, Shaitan has this in us, that he's broken us down. How he's broken us down? He's broken the head. That you don't have a head, so the head has been broken. When the head has been broken, now I ask you, is there any direction? It's natural in us, it's an instinct in us, that we want to see some head, we want to take a lead, we want to see someone and we take a lead from that. Any person. anyway, whether he's an educated person or an uneducated person, but he wants to see some type of a precedent and he follows the precedent. Right? A role model, right? A singer or a batsman or a footballer, you want to see someone, a role model, right? You see the role model and you follow afterwards, don't you? That happens in your life. So that's natural in man. He wants to see a role model, he wants to see a precedent and he follows. But now, the role model that was the role model, you smashed him out. No role model now. There's no role model, so you're not answerable to anybody. Now then, someone will have to fill in the shoes. Who's going to fill in the shoes then? Because you took that person out. It was your father, you took him out. It was your sheikh, you took him out. It was the senior in your family, you took him out. Everybody, all this, everybody is taken out. So someone has to fill in the shoes. Now who's going to fill in the shoes? You see how dangerous this is. So now, when there isn't a role model, so naturally you will want to follow something. That's an instinct. You can't smash the instinct. Right? It's like, you know, food, you're not going to eat at one place, you'll have to eat at some other place. Drink, you're not going to drink something, you'll have to drink something else. Now, similarly, is following. So man is born like that, he wants to follow. Don't you see? Whether you are committed to deen or you're not committed to deen, you want to follow something. You are committed to deen, then you will have and you will dress in a certain attire. And you're not committed to deen, then you will dress but in a different attire. Now you're looking at what is the fashion, what is the brand name, and what is the in thing, what everybody wears, what type of pants, baggies or whatever, I need to buy that. So you are following a certain person, whether knowingly, whether understanding that you're following him, or whether you're doing it without understanding that you're following him. But you are following someone, definitely you are following someone. So you can be in either one of two ways. You want to be committing yourself to deen, so you'll have someone as your deeni elder and you'll follow him closely. Everything, whether it's a kurta, whether it is the topi, whether it is the turban, whether it is a trouser, whatever it is, but I've got some role model, I need to follow the person. So one is that you have a committed, you are committed to some deen, right? You're committed to deen, then you'll have a role model in that way. But if you're not committed to deen, then you have some other role model. Hey, but this person dresses up like this. He wears this type of a clothing. Or he does this type of a business, right? So then you're going to have him as your role model and you're going to go through with him. Whichever way he wants. Whichever way he's going, you'll go with him. So you can't escape this. You can never escape it. Whoever you be, you may be you the most educated person, be you the most dull person, but you will just naturally want, it's a natural instinct you want to follow something and some person. One way or the other, right? So you left these people, you're not following. Now who are you going to follow? So you're going to follow one of three things. Media, right? Fashions, environment, right? Radio, television, or the magazines that you see all around, you will be subscribing to that and you will follow that thought. That thought will then influence your mind, it will dictate and it will command your life. The thought that is running through the television or the media or the radio or the environment that's around you or the people that you would interact with, they will then influence your thought. They're doing this, I need to do it. They're running their lives like this, so I need to run my life like this. They do a certain thing, I need to do it. That influence will catch up with you. If they are, for example, in insurance, then I need to do it. That influence is so, it's weighing so much over you that you feel you must do it, you under some obligation to do it. The influences, the environment weighs so heavily against you that you feel you don't have a chance, that they're doing it, so I need to do it. I don't have a chance. If I don't do it, what's going to happen to me? You see how the influences, this external environment and the influence, how they impact upon you. Now the point to be taken is this, that it's a material thing after all, right? And we know that material thing is fleeting, it's transitory, it's short-lived, right? We talk about it as the wing of a mosquito. We talk about it as mata'ul ghurur, something that is rotten. To the end, it's rotten, right? But then for that, we show so much of importance, the education, the lifestyle, everything. Just to get the material right, we'll need to have some leader. In our business, we need a leader. In our homes, we need a leader. In the school, that school needs to have a leader, right? Everything material. There we don't want to compromise on that. We need to have that leader. Otherwise, my child, if he doesn't have a leader, then he's going to become a delinquent. He's not going to have any direction in life. So he needs to have a leader. So we all agreed about it in our business, we agreed. In our schools, we agreed. In our homes, we agreed. But the only point, the only place that we disagree is in our deen. Deen, we don't have to have a stringent one type of a leader. No, we don't have to have it. There we can do randomly whatever we need to do, wherever we want to choose from, select from, take from here, take from there, randomly, we can do it. We don't have to be committed to one person. I ask you, when you say that you don't want to be committed to one person, then who are you following? You want to be committed to one person, you know, you heard him out, you heard him out, then you want to make your own selection. When you want to make your own selection, I ask you, then what's going to influence your selection? I ask you, what's going to influence your selection? The things that will influence your selection is ease now. It's easier, yeah, it's more comfortable this side. So what's influencing it? Is it Allah Ta'ala that is influencing your decision, or is it your nafs? Then you haven't followed Allah Ta'ala, you haven't taken from Allah Ta'ala. You have taken it from someone else. Because you're looking randomly, he's saying something, he's saying something, he's saying something, you know. Say, no, go out for 4 months, you'll change your life. The other person says, you know, you just come here for 10 days, you'll come right, man. See, this is an easy one. So let me take this one. Yes, 10 days one is easy. 4 months now, we have to get a ticket, visas, to go out of the environment, go with so much of difficulty and pain into a foreign land, come back. This 10-day thing is easy thing. So I ask you, who's taking the decision in your life? See, the importance of a leader. The importance of someone senior. And when you don't have that person that is senior, I give this example, but these are real examples that came before me. I'm giving the example. One person says that, you know, just to frighten off my wife, then I utter the words of divorce. Just to frighten her, you know, just to put her in a place a little bit. So when she's going, she's flying too high, just to keep her in place, and I divorce her. By how many times you did this? You know, over 1,000 times. How many years you married? 20 years. By all your life you've living in haram. So this person is living in haram, why he doesn't have a leader? The person that is still living is approximately 75 years of age. 1-2 years ago he asked me. You know, I read my namaz from the age of 7, I never miss one namaz. I never miss one namaz from the age of 7. So almost 68 years of his life he's living reading namaz, right? So he says, all my life I read my namaz, I perform my namaz without the movement of the mouth and the tongue. Just in my mind I was doing all the recitation. Mentally I was doing the recitation. Is my namaz valid? So here this person left, he's involved in haram. That person left out his faraz. Why he didn't consult? You see, this consulting is such an important thing. He's living all his life, 20 years in his marriage, but he's living in haram. This person 68 years and not a single namaz of his is valid. Besides perhaps the namaz that he may have read behind the imam. All the other namaz are not valid. Because he didn't do the recitation. And why he didn't do the recitation? Because he didn't have an elder. Had he had an elder and he been committed to that elder asking him, alright, how do I do this? Am I doing this right? Am I not doing it right? Inshallah, 9 out of 10 he would have been right. But he didn't see the need of consulting. So what happened? Where did he bring him? You see the need for an elder. Now, before it was such, okay, one elder will come and he will say, if it's an elder brother, he will say, you know what, I think your daughter is a little bit old now. She's 9-10 years of age and she must be pulled out of school. Now she must be at home. That one elder brother, he's thinking for the rest of the family, he comes and he says, no, this is to be done like this. And the younger brother says, no, it's my elder brother and he's wishing well for the family. I need to go with him. Whatever he says, I need to respect him. Now the life became so smooth and so easy that this person is thinking, I don't have the stress in my life. What to do with this girl now? Send her to high school, university, she must become a doctor, she must... What in the event if she is divorced, whatever. So all that magajmar you'll make. Right? And here, you did the necessary procedures and you left it to Allah Ta'ala. That is a Muslim, the necessary procedures, whatever you were supposed to be adopting, you did. And then you assigned the affair to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala do the rest. What I was supposed to do, I did. Now you will look after the child. And you will get the cue from where? From all the generations that passed, from my great granny's time, they were doing the same thing. Everything worked out for them. Suddenly now, they need to go become doctors and gynees and all that. All the years they didn't need to do, and they were good mothers, great mothers they were. They were very great mothers. So where did they become great mothers? One person said, one specialist in science, in sociology, he says, show me a progressive man, and I will show you a great mother. What? Show me a progressive man, and I will show you a great mother. So in the making of the child is the mother. The mother is not so popular, she's not seen, she's not visible. She's like that seed that goes into the ground, nobody sees her. But all the good that comes out is from the seed. That fruit that comes out, the beauty of the tree that comes out, the trunk that comes out, and that export grade of fruit that comes out and then is supplied to the entire world is coming from the one single seed. But the seed is annihilating himself. You can't see him. So that woman is also annihilating herself and you can't see her, she's concealed. But the good of this woman is visible right throughout. Imam Ghazali is coming out, Imam Bukhari Sahib is coming out, Imam Bukhari is coming out. Is the good of their mothers. What the mothers put in is what is visible, what is seen today. So in material things, we see the need of consulting, having one person as the head. Then in dini things, don't we see the need for having a head? I don't say that the head will be 100% all the time. It may be that the head will make a mistake here and there. We will not follow him in his mistakes. Right. It's your father, for example, right? He smokes. So in his wrong habits, you're not going to follow him. But it doesn't mean now that you must rule him off your life. Because he smokes, now he's a shaitan, put him upside down in Jahannam. He's a Jahannami and all of that. Do that with your father. You don't do that. So we will just write off that wrong habit of his, leave that out. But we will not say that because of his one habit, there's 10% wrong in him, the 95% that is good in him, we will rule it off. See, there's a need to correct a person and there's a procedure. There's a procedure to correct the person. And if you don't follow the procedure, then it's spite. Then I will show you and I'll smash you down. I will spite you and you will spite me. So who won after that? Only shaitan won. There is a procedure. And when anybody goes against the procedure, right, then he is bringing destruction and corruption, whoever it may be afterwards. But he's going against the procedure. Unless it's someone that is at that level of piety and righteousness, he will do something that would outwardly seem to be hard, but he's not creating any fitna. Outwardly it seems very hard, but it's not creating any fitna, it's bringing goodness. You see, how you understand this harshness, but it's bringing about goodness. Wala Raham Ilahi Manglori Rahmatullahi, Mautangala repeatedly explains his story. He says, every righteous person has some challenge, someone that is against him. When he's becoming popular, he's becoming more respectable. So people say, no, he's flying too high now. Now cut his wings. Cut his wing, put him in place. So you must have, Ja'alna li kulli nabiyyin aduwan. For every nabi, there is a challenge, there is an enemy. So the ulama and the righteous, they have also challenges, they have also enemies. So if they are getting some popularity, then you get someone that's trying to cut off their wings, not realizing that the knife is getting them. It's not getting these people, like you're spitting against the sun. The spit will fall on your face. It's not going to hurt the sun in any way. It's going to come back on your face. It's going to bring more embarrassment to you. So now, he's got some enemies in his town, right? Now to spite him, what they did, they had some baja gaja, you know, some music and all that. And to entertain that entire crowd, they got a woman singer to entertain that entire crowd. Now this woman is singing to the crowd, is just near the masjid, it's on his way to the masjid. Now Mullah is thinking, forget the spite and all that, but this is wrong. How can they do it in the precincts of the masjid? What should I be doing? This is right, the precincts of the masjid, what are they doing here? So, what he did, he said, no, let's see what's the root of the problem. The root of the problem is woman here. She is entertaining this whole crowd. She is dancing and singing. If the root is broken down, the whole structure will fall down. Everything will collapse. Let's go to the root. So, now how to get to the root? He went into the crowd, took out his shoe and began to dama dam. Fadam dama alayhim. You know, we say dama dam. Dam dam alayhim rabbhum. Say, the meaning is approximately the same. So he began to smash her down. Anyway, she smashed her down, everything, all the show, the entertainment was gone, because she was the highlight of the whole jalsa. She was the highlight. So you smashed her, you smashed the whole jalsa down. Now people are worried that the whole jalsa is gone, all the beauty, the glamour, everything is gone. So they went to spur up this woman. They went to incite this woman. See, this is a problem in our community, that we like inciting. We like this type of entertainment. Someone else is getting disgraced. Someone else is being smashed down, and we like to hear this type of information. In our walima tables, this is the talk. Yeah. Who's catching it now? Yeah, what's happening? What's the latest score? And what is haram now? So that becomes the topic in our walima festivals, in our dawahs, etc. So as though all these type of things is bringing an entertainment to us. Are we doing it for deen? Are we reading that for deen? Or are we reading the article for entertainment? Now, who's catching who? Who's smashing who? Are we doing it for our own reformation? Or are we doing it for entertainment and to see now who's getting smashed down? What are we doing? What's the niyat at that time? Will you ever read an article or listen to an article where your father is being insulted? I ask you. You're not going to do it because you know it means your izzat, your respect. If someone did it, you will avoid the person, you won't want to read that article because unnecessary is going to bring pain to you. Now here, that one person is insulting the other, one person is smashing down the other, and we are the spectators. I ask you, is that sawab or is that guna? You are taking that relish whilst one person is being insulted and you want to see now, what is the other word that's been used for him? What's the other word that's been used for him? What's the other word that's been used for him? And you're taking a relish, you're taking enjoyment in that. I ask you, is that deen? If it is not deen, it's something else, totally something else. Deen is, yeah, what can I benefit? Where am I going wrong? Where is my islah kept? You know, I want to know my own reformation. I need to get to Jannat. I don't know about these things. I'm not such an expert that knows about all these things here. But I want to find my passage to Jannat. And I want to see where I'm going wrong. I don't want to relish in other people's disgrace. I don't want to entertain myself with other people being despised and run down. I don't want to do that. What do I get out of it? But now this has become the tabiat. It has become our zawq and our taste that we take it an enjoyment when other persons are being smashed down, they're being disgraced, they're being insulted, so we take an enjoyment. So a dini article or a dini program is heard. Why it's heard? Why it's listened to? We listen to it for reformation, our correction. Not to smash anybody down, not to run anybody down, not to disgrace and despise, but rather to discover our own faults, our own weaknesses. What is my weakness? Let me go and correct myself. See how it just moves away. We just move out from the life. We just move out. And that's the mind. That's what I say, the mental discipline. You know, I started off this topic, the disciplining of the mind. One is the disciplining of the display. That's also important. We say, Jazakallah, Alhamdulillah. We thank a person for his good. That's also important. But more important than that is the mental discipline. Is your mind also disciplined? Or it is just a show of words? The verse is showing you to have a good display of words. Just from the outside you must be displayed very well. Within you can be rotten, it's alright. And Islam is teaching you that within also you must be right. If the watermelon is good outside, then it will be good inside as well. In fact, more inside than outside. Because if it's rotten inside, it's of no use to you. So if it's good on the outside, it must be good inside as well. This is Islamic discipline. See? So now this is what happens to us, that we just want to entertain our eyes, entertain our ears, entertain ourselves with people being disgraced. If there's a problem, there's one of two ways to sort out problems, right? You know, if you're really looking for Islam and correction, there's one of two ways. One is we go and tell the person, "By this is the problem, go and sort yourself out. It's a halal organization, whatever else, but it's a problem and we are all affected, so go and correct yourself." But there's an approach. If it's your own son, you won't go and make an advertisement of the son of yours. You won't go and display in the whole world. You won't ask him to correct yourself. That's the first step, that you go and ask him to correct yourself. That's the right way, the Islamic way. Imagine all the odds that weigh against you. You don't have an Islamic country in place, right? You don't have any type of force and power in place, right? Right. And if you are too vociferous and you are too strong, there can be a lawsuit made against you, right? Number four, when we are addressing who are we addressing? We are addressing the public we are addressing, right? The public's level of understanding is very weak. The public's level of understanding is very weak. They don't know whether they're coming or going. Who is talking, what they don't know. Right? So when they are coming to a level of confusion, what happens? They say, hey, this person is saying this, this person is saying this. Let's do our own thing. So all confidence is broken down. You see, in this type of inner fighting, what happens? The level of confidence that was in the ulama, all is broken down. I'm not listening to him, I'm not listening to him. Let me do my own thing. Now I am thinking on my side that I'm doing a very wonderful service for Islam. Imam Tahmid Sahib Rahman says this, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, he quotes this, that Nabi Sahib was never vulgar. He was never aggressive. Fahishan wala mutafahishan. Never aggressive, never vulgar, never impolite. I ask you that you are performing namaz, but you're leaving out roza. Because you say you're reading namaz, and therefore you're leaving out roza, are you completing your obligation? You're not completing your obligation. So if you are trying to fix up something, in the process you can't leave out your akhlaq. It's not a license to leave out akhlaq. If you're doing this, then you have to adopt akhlaq as well. And you're leaving out akhlaq, then this is not a process of reformation. Because if that was the sunnah of Nabi Sallam, this was also the sunnah of Nabi Sallam. If there were challenges today, there were challenges in Nabi Sallam as well. In his zaman also. But you didn't see him using this type of vulgar languages, aggressive languages. No, he didn't do this. So that means that person has departed from the sunnah. It's not the way of Nabi Sallam. If there were challenges today, there were challenges then. So the one way to correct the person is tell the person what you're doing is not right. In a nice way, a respectable way. But if he's not responding, then what do you do? Then the simple solution, what you need to do is it a genuine need in your place? If it's a genuine need, then make your own intizam. Make your own arrangements. Right. A simple example for that is janaza, mayyat, etc. Right? You ask someone to do the arrangements, to do the kafan, dafan, pull out the body from the mortuary or from the hospital, whatever, do all the formalities, do the kafan, dafan, ghusl, etc. You ask someone. If they're doing a good job, very good. But if they're doing some small discrepancies, you'll correct them. And major then you'll cut them off, you'll make your own arrangements. You need to do it, because you understand the implications, you understand how important it is. Now you see the person, he's facing the mayyat totally on the opposite direction. So it's a major thing. So are you just standing at the mimbar, start shouting, hey, you're doing this, haram, haram, haram. No, but you're going to make your own arrangements now. Because you can see now that people are going to die all the time. And we need to make arrangements for them. So what have we done? He explains this in detail. Showing us that when this type of a thing is smashed down, then what's the ripple effect it will have here? He gives an incident, he gives. Says it is a communal war carrying on, right, in India, and there are all bodies that are all strewn all over the place, right. So one baniya is moving past, that amongst the bodies there are one, two persons that are alive still. One is a little bit unconscious, the other person is still alive. But he's been incapacitated. His one leg is chopped off, or both legs are chopped off. He can't move. Now it's coming towards Maghrib time, and he sees now, I'm all alone, all bodies around here. Someone gets up from the dead, now what's going to happen to me? So what to do? So he's calling that Banya, Lalaji. The Lalaji is getting afraid now. The dead is speaking. So he's getting afraid. What's going to happen? But the man speaks out again. He said, Lalaji, meri himyani mein kuch sone ke sikke rakhe. In my belt, I've got some golden coins, Kruger rands I've got. Right? I've got that here, all loaded. Now he's scared also, but the mouth is watering now, the gold coins, can't let it go now. This man is going to die just now. Money got wasted. Why must it get wasted? Someone has used it at least. So he went up, near the person that is dying, he went up. The dying person pulled out his sword and chopped off his legs. Now, he's incapacitated, both are incapacitated. So, but you said you got gold and all that. Now you can't chop off my head, my legs. Said, hey, by use your brains. You see anybody going to war with a whole load of gold coins? Then why you have to chop my legs? He says, no, I see now, he's coming towards Maghrib, right? And all bodies are lying around here. I need some company to pass the night. So you were the only person that I saw in the distance. So I had to chop your leg off. I needed to chop your leg off so that you could also be incapacitated like me. And we could pass the night nicely. You know, I'll talk about some stories, you'll talk stories. By the morning, at least the day, the night will come out nicely. See? So this Baniya says, khud nahi karte ho, kisi ko karne bhi nahi dete. You're not doing it. You're not allowing anybody to do it. You're not doing this thing. And you're not allowing anybody to do it. Now that's where we have come now today. That if someone is doing it, if he's doing 10%, 15% wrong, just break him, bolt him out. Now he's teaching your children, for example, arithmetic, science, geography, English, Afrikaans. One subject is doing it wrong, upside down. Afrikaans is doing it wrong, right? So 15% is not right. But the 85% is doing it right. Now you bolt him off. Now who's going to teach your children? You can't teach the children and he's not going to teach the children. So where's your children now? He's left on the ledge. Either you fix the person up, get the teacher right, right? Or otherwise get a substitute. You won't do it yourself. Now you're not getting a substitute. You're not doing this. So where you left the crowd? In the right, in the ledge. So this is where we stand sometimes. That we will support and we'll entertain our ears and our eyes with all this type of information. We won't do it and we will not get others to do the same thing. Because we know meat is a genuine thing, like how janaza is a genuine thing. It's a need, right? We're not doing it and we're not letting anybody else do it. Right? So if the person's not doing it right, we will advise him. That's the first level. And if he's not, then we make our own arrangements. We will go and scrutinize it, go and check the thing up. And when we have seen the whole thing, the whole procedure is not right, then what you do? It's a genuine need, so let me make some arrangements now. I'm just going to make a noise without any replacement, nothing in place there. What's going to happen? It's empty words. So we're talking about Mawlana Rahim Ilahi Sahib, Rahmatullahi, where I say someone is making a noise, but he's got that type of quwwat and that type of backing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's no fitna. There's no problems afterwards. So he went there, he smashed that woman. She stopped. Now, you get that crowd always, you know, trying to incite problems. Everywhere you'll find that. Inside, spur up, talk, this against that person, that against this person here. And the hadith doesn't like this. خَبَّبَ إِمْرَأَةً عَلَىٰ زَوْجِهَا. You incite the wife against the husband, or the husband against the wife. It's an easy thing. Go and say the wife, oh, you know, you landed with this husband here. It's a stupid thing. Where you got landed? Such an intelligent, capable person, an attractive person like you got landed up with this chacha here. Right? Or you tell the husband the same thing. Such an intelligent person here. You got landed up with this doya here. This old lady here you got landed up. So you incited one person against the other. What have you done? What have you done effectively? Effectively now, the man's respect for his wife is gone. Or the wife's respect for the husband is gone. Now she's in gloom, hey, now I have to live here with this man here, I got children already. But I got landed now, my whole takdir, my whole kismat is gone. My whole kismat this person has destroyed, I just have to live like this. So I ask you, this man here, is he going to get any type of enjoyment in his home, marital home? Not from his wife, not from his husband, not from the wife, not from the children, not from anybody. But who started this? This person was incited. So this type of incitement is great. All of us will learn how to incite. How to fix up things we won't understand. We won't think, alright, apply our minds, let's try and fix up the thing. The fixing up the thing is easy, but just that we need to apply our mind. Hey, mashallah, hey, you know, the children are coming up well. It shows that they're getting a good training from the mother. Just adds one, two things. And see how your children go even more better. But they're very progressive compared to other children, they're going very well. So you give him some words of encouragement and put them onto the right. But now you're going to smash that person, the moment someone is doing it, you can't see it. It's either a power struggle, that person is doing it, is becoming more recognized on to smash him down, break him down. Or I feel that the truth is confined to what I say. Al-Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, when some years ago, some 30 years ago, some people were passing this type of comments, you know, yahi kaam hai, yahi, this is the only work. This is the only work. Some people that are ignorant but about the Jamaat work, isn't this the only work? So His answer was, although he was amongst the pioneers of Jamaat, who started off the work with Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, I won't say started off, but he was with Muhammad Ilyas Sahib. He says, کسی کام کو اپنے لیے تجویز کرنا, یو ہیو پریفیئرڈ اے سرٹن ورک فار یور سیلف, اے سرٹن ورک یو ہیو پریفیئرڈ فار یور سیلف, اور پھر حق کو اسی کے اندر منحصر سمجھنا, اینڈ دین یو کنفائن دا ٹروتھ ان واٹ یو ہیو انڈرسٹوڈ, یہ بالکل گمراہی ہے, دلالت ہے. دس از ایبسولوٹ یو آف دا کوز. یو سجیسٹ اے سرٹن تھنگ فار یور سیلف, اینڈ دین یو فائنڈ یو فیل دیٹ دا حق از جسٹ کنفائنڈ ٹو وٹ یو فیل وٹ یو سی. دس از اوپن دلالت اینڈ گمراہی. So now these people began to incite this woman here against her Molana. See, we are all the witnesses, 500 people here as your audience. We've seen firsthand what happened. We are the audience. You go and lay a police report, we are the witnesses. And put him in his place, what he thinks of himself. But you see, when the niyat is right, when you got a support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your mind is not corrupt, then you get all the backing from Allah ta'ala as well. Provided your mind is right. Provided your intentions are correct. Your intentions are not flawed, then you will get the support from Allah Ta'ala. People make a small noise, but then everything will just settle, come in place. Now look at this woman. Some people's iman are very deep in their hearts. It is just that little bit of a dirt that has come and covered that iman. So the diamond is there, but the diamond has fallen to dust. It's fallen to sewage. The iman is there, but you just have to wash that sewage and the dirt out, you'll find the glitter of the diamond. So some people's iman is there, though she's a loose woman, singing to the crowd, but the iman is powerful. See the statement that she makes. Statement she makes is, you see, imagine you people are 500 strong all around me, right? You entertained with my singing. With all my performance, you people are being entertained. This is one single man. He could cut through you and come direct to me and smash my head down, and none of you have the guts and the courage to defend me. Shows that he is divinely supported. It shows that he is supported from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, he couldn't make a move like this. So, when he is being supported by Allah Ta'ala, me challenging him is challenging Allah Ta'ala. I'll never do this. You give me all the money in the world, I'm not going to do it. What do you think? I don't have iman. What do you think of me? Now, she's a loose woman, dirty woman. But imagine, look at that quality of caliber of iman. And look at this person, this Molana's niyat. The motivation that's in him. And look at his niyat. And it's impacting on this woman here. Look at the level of the iman of this woman. And she's enough to put all those 500 crowd people down. You see, the 500 people down. They all entertain. They, as though they are very, very pious people, right? But look at the level of iman. Look at this one girl, this one dirty woman. And look at her level of iman. Now that was real iman. And this was nothing. Anyway, it doesn't end there. It doesn't stop there. This woman goes up to the Mawlana. And she says, you know, I am wrong. I am dirty. My whole life I've been running like this. But I do understand what I've done is wrong. And now, is there any way, please, فَهَلْ لِي مِن سَبِيلٍ, is there any way for me to come back onto the track? What's the ayat? فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِن سَبِيلٍ, any way I can come out of this? فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِن سَبِيلٍ, is there any way that I can come out of this? So yeah, as long as you are alive, the roads are not sealed off for you, the roads are still open for you. See what I'm showing today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, either you go and fix it up. Otherwise, you look for ways, when it's a necessary thing, when you require it, make the arrangements. Now you're not here, you're not this side. Either you go and fix it up yourself, go and talk to the person nicely, and fix it up. And if you can't do that, then go and make your own arrangements. Because you need the thing, it's a genuine commodity that you can't live without. So make some arrangements. So you're not even here, you're not even there. So this Alim says, no, there is a way for you as well. No matter what you are, but there is a way. You make sincere tawbah, and you've been living a dirty life, right? So you select someone as your husband, whichever person that you are comfortable with, and you can have a direction in your life. You're not going to have a husband now, and you've been leading a loose life, you can fall again into the dirt now. So no, I'm definitely going to do it. Today, I'm going to do it today. She went to that person, whoever she was in love with, she got the person, made the nikah, everything. She said, no, I'm making tawbah at your hands. I'm not going to do this again. See, so if the niyat is right, then the aftermath also is going to be right. It's going to be good. You're going to have a small little noise here and there, but what will come out of afterwards will be just good and nothing besides good. So what I'm getting at today is the importance of having someone as your head, not doing things of your own. Whether it is in dunya matters to a lesser degree, but in dini matters to a higher degree, you definitely need someone. You can't do it yourself. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, small things, they're asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba is asking the third question. I said about two questions. And the third question that he asked, Matassa. He's a villager, but he's hitting it on the head. The right thing he's asking and he's hitting it on the head. So what he's asking? When is Qiyamah? That even made that dua and all that, Nabi corrected him. Even urinated, Nabi corrected him there as well. He corrected him there as well. He did, alright, he didn't know about it. He didn't do it deliberately. He didn't know about it. Ignorant person, he did it in ignorance. Nabi corrected him, cleaned the whole place and explained him afterwards, that this is not the place that you would do these type of things. So Nabi would correct the person, but correct the person with love. Warn the person. Yeah, he corrected him with love. Another person also is correcting him with love. Comes, accepted Islam. He learned a few things in Islam. Amongst the things that he learned was that if someone sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, then you must say Yarhamukallah. I was coming to the namaz, and in that namaz, what he's doing, in that namaz, someone is sneezed and said Alhamdulillah, so he said at the top of his voice, Yarhamukallah. Now everybody is looking at him, staring at him. He said, "Bhai, I didn't steal your money. I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you staring at me like this?" Now, the villager, poor chap, he just come into the masjid and they're staring at him. Now he doesn't know what's going on. He said, "But why are you staring? I didn't steal, I didn't rob, I didn't cheat, I didn't hurt anybody, but why are you looking at me like this?" So then they began to hit the knees like this. So they said, "Lakinni sakattu." I was really angry at them. But I just held my peace. I just held myself. Then Nabi Sallam, after the namaz, he called me. Who was this person who spoke? Manil mutakallim. He called him. He says, Ma darabani, wa ma kaharani, wa ma sabbani. Nabi Sallam never hurt me. He never hit me. He never insulted me. Nothing. Walakin qal, that this is namaz. Namaz, you read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Quran Sharif, Zikr. This is what you do in namaz. And he says, Wallahi, ma ra'aytu mualliman. Mithlahu la qablahu wa la ba'd. I didn't see a teacher better than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not before him, not after him. That's the first impression is what about deen. It's the first impression is what about the leader of deen. See the love. So the leader is not leaving, he's not complacent, he's correcting also, but in a style, with an approach. To win the person over, Islam is not to distance people, not to fight and break and damage and, it's not Islam that. That's something else. It's not the way of, not our way of our Buzruganadi. Look at their ways. It's something totally different. They will win the person. Gently, softly, however, but they will win the person. They won't distance the person. And where you find that people are being distant and broken away into groups and all that, then really it's not the way of our Buzruganadi. Not our Mashaikh's way. It's not a way to go with. Our way was to join, to meet up, to get them together. At the more times, I didn't even like that you make discrepancies with Paul, that this is a Maulud group and this is a Sunni group. He didn't even like that. You just speak to me. You're not doing it, don't do it, but don't fight with them. Many people he took bayat, he accepted them with bayat, said, you see, you've got any person that is doing these things, you're not going to speak against him. You're not going to join him, but you're not going to speak against him. Why did he say that? Look at his malfuzat. Why did he have to say that? Because he knows this person is going to go in, he's going to make things worse. He's not going to bring any, he's not going to make any improvements. He's going to make things worse. So Mona stopped him. Now he didn't want, what Mona was avoiding is a split in the Ummah, a division in the Ummah. He was avoiding that. So didn't he have that understanding that, well, this was right and he has to get the thing on track? He had the understanding, but why did he adopt that method? So this person here, he says, I haven't seen a teacher as beautiful as Nabi Sallam, not before him, not after him. That was the first impression he has got about Nabi Sallam. And he's seated in his heart. So this villager now, is asking, Matassa, when is Qiyamah? So he's asking the right questions. He's hitting it on the head. What is asking? When is Qiyamah? In proportion to the conviction of Qiyamah, in proportion to the reality of Qiyamah, to the reality of Jannat and Jahannam, your focus will be right. And if you don't have Jannat and Jahannam and Qiyamah before, your focus is all gone. So that is the goal. You have the goal before you, you are in line. And you don't have that goal before, you are off the line. That's the goal post, right? You're running this way. or you're going in the opposite direction. Are you right? So you'll only be right if you know what the goal is. If you don't know the goal, I ask you, is there any direction in your life? So if you got the goal that is Qiyamah, then you are moving in the right direction. And you don't have that imagination, the thought, and the conviction of Qiyamah and Jannah and Jahannam, life after death. Really, you got off the course. So you want to be on the course and you want to be focused, you'll have to have that sense of Qiyamah. So you're on the course, right? You're moving in the right direction. So he's asking the right question, Matasah, where is Qiyamah? See? He's focused, that means. Why is he asking that question? He says, well, this is Qiyamah, I need to work towards it. And after that, I'll come and meet my beloved. See, I'm moving towards the goal. I need to know when the goal is going to be. So Nabi Sallam asked him, what preparations have you made? So he told him also, he brought him on course again. That if you are looking forward to Qiyamah, then that means what you are doing or what you have to do is to make preparations. If you are looking for the right goals, right? You're asking what's the goal, right? I said, are you preparing for the goals? I'm preparing. So what's your preparation? So I haven't got a lot of amal, but I love Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, I'm doing my faraz, I'm doing my sunnahs, I'm doing all that. But really I have a deep love for Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Rabbi Sallam comforts him. See, Rabbi Sallam's way. What do you think? You're jahil, you're coming to ask this type of question. You don't have to visit the masjid, you ask this type of questions. Nabi Sallam's way was a way of love, a way of inviting, a way of attracting people. He said, don't worry. A man will be group with those people that he loves. You love Allah Ta'ala, you love His Nabi Sallam, you'll be group with us. What a great comfort. As Anas Sayyam says, there isn't a word, a statement that brought greater comfort to the Sahaba Ikram than this statement. Allah Ta'ala.